Hello, and welcome to Talk to Tay Tuesdays. As always, thank you for spending 5 to 7 minutes of your week with me, unless we have guests. Now, friends, this week I'm doing something I normally don't do. I know I had a guest on last week, but we have another guest this week. And this person, I just had to get them when I could get them. They are so busy. So let me start off telling you this. You know, people ask me all the time, Tate, who do you listen to, consistently listen to? You know, I like people like Brené Brown and I like Mel Robbins, but the people that I really listen to on a weekly basis, to be real, who I listen to at least once a week, these three people, number one is a gentleman named David Goggins. David Goggins has an amazing story. I love David Goggins. And I gotta tell you, if you have sensitive ears, don't put on David Goggins because he's gonna use profanity, but he's gonna motivate you beyond your beliefs. The other person I like to listen to is Lisa Nichols. Lisa is, I like her because she's a local girl. She went to Dorsey High. She grew up in Englewood. Her story is amazing. I think she is actually the first African-American female to have a Fortune 500 company listed. So Lisa Nichols, I love her. She's supposed to be on the show later on this year or next year. The problem is she just got married not too long ago and she moved to the Bahamas. So I'm still trying to track her down. So Lisa Nichols. And the third person I listen to without failure every week is our guest today, Mr. Ed Robinson. No doubt, I listen to him with my mom. I listen to him with friends. And let me tell you a little about his podcast. What I like about it is that Ed comes from more from a spiritual perspective, and he makes it relatable. And that's what I think we need a lot of today, because sometimes stuff is told and it seems outdated. But I'm not going to get into it. Ed will talk about that. So, ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, my friend, Mr. Ed Robinson. Ed, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good, Tate. I'm very honored and humbled by that gracious introduction and opportunity to be on your podcast.
Well, Ed, you know, I just want to thank you. You know, I know you're a life coach, you are a motivator, you're a minister, and what impressed me the most, you're a marathoner. You run marathons.
Yes, sir. I try to keep this body in subjection, so to speak.
You know, the old joke is, I don't want to run, I got a car.
I like that. It works.
It's too far to run.
It works, especially in L.A., Tate.
Exactly, Ed. So, anyway, let's get started with the podcast. Tell us about, I talked about Lisa being a homegirl. You grew up in the city. Talk about your beginnings and where you came from and such.
All right, Tate, thank you. I grew up in the great town of Watts. Lived through the Watts 65 riots. I grew up with 8 siblings. My mother gave birth to 10 children.
Wow.
I was born a twin. My twin brother died when we were 2 years old, so I grew up with 7 sisters, 1 brother. Lived in Watts for the first 13 years of my life. Then we moved to Compton, where I still live in the great city of Compton. Native, you know, went to Compton High School, University of Laverne, and did a master's at Cal State Dominguez Hills. And what else can I say?
Well, you know what? I know the great city of Watts and Compton, they're very proud of you, because I know I'm proud of you. So, and one thing is, I'm very proud. Recently, in February of this year, you received an award from Edison. Can you talk about the award? Tell us what it's called and the purpose of the award.
Okay, yeah. So the award was the Gwen Moore Diversity Award. And I am a retiree, as you know, Tate, of Southern California Edison. So Gwen Moore was a late assembly member who was responsible for ushering what is known as General Order 156, simply translated, how do the investor-owned utilities, Southern California Edison, Pacific Gas and Electric up north, San Diego Gas and Electric down south, how do they make sure that there are women and minority-owned businesses that get an opportunity to do those things? So Gwen was a great champion in all that she did, and so I was very humbled to be the recipient of that award, and thanks for mentioning that.
Well, I know it's well-deserved, Ed. You do a lot. I'm constantly hearing about things you did. When I told people you were coming on, I told Iris, and I told somebody, they're like, oh, this is going to be good. Ed is always on point. And you are. I got to tell you, my first encounter with you was when I was with Speakers Bureau, and you would end, I don't even remember what you used to say, you used to end pretty much all our meetings with a slogan. I used to call you the Black Samuel Clemens or Mark Twain, because you always had the best sayings. Do you remember how you used to end those meetings? You remember what you used to say?
Oh, yeah, I remember things like that. I would say things like when it, like Lou Holtz said, when it's all said and done, there's more said than done. Translated, let's get things done. Or if you always do what you already did, you're going to always get what you already got.
And I stole that one from you. I say that all the time. I love that one.
Or life is hard by the yard, but it's a cinch by the end. So my mother was always saying different things, quips, quotes, and anecdotes, and I just kind of, you know, picked up from where she left off.
I always love that. So, Ed, let's talk about your podcast, The Deep End. It's called The Deep End with Ed Robinson. I love it. What I really like about it is you just don't talk about things. You actually give advice. And even beyond that, again, I think that your podcast, you bring it from a spiritual perspective, and then you make it relative and relatable. Again, I can listen to this, your podcast, with anybody. I've listened to it. I have a friend, I'm going to say his name, who is an atheist. But you told the story of Nehemiah and rebuilding the wall. And you talked about how Nehemiah didn't tell anybody what he was doing. And then you started to say how sometimes in life, you got to keep stuff to yourself. So can you talk about how you blend biblical with 2022?
Very good point. So The Deep End started, it is a legacy of sorts, because I had a sister, Samantha, who passed away in 2017 at the young age of 51. And then 15 months later, my brother Ray, who was only 48, passed away. So I kind of wanted to do something as a legacy towards that end. So the Deep End, Tate, essentially, look at it as a swimming pool. So if I come to the Ramsey house and I don't know how to swim, what I'm going to do? I'm going to hang out in the shallow water.
Right.
What I'm trying to do is encourage people to live beyond their limited beliefs, whatever hurts, habits, hang-ups, past, whatever, and push towards the deep end. So our goal is to, how do we remain relevant, as you said? Someone told me that I used to take classes in seminary, and they said when you're in seminary, when you're preparing a message, you should have, like, the newspaper in one hand, or in this case, social media in one hand, and then the Bible in the other hand.
Wow.
And then how do you blend that together where it makes sense? By nature, I'm just a real simple person. I like to tell stories, I like to paint pictures, and things of that nature. So I know when individuals are listening, the question always comes in, what's in it for me? How do I relate to that?
Right.
And so that's what I'm really big on, the application. So I try to take everyday things, germane things that happens to everyone. And you know, Tate, I'm always sharing my stories, things that I'm trying to, not making it about Ed, but I'm trying to let folks know that I have issues, I have problems, I have challenges, I have struggles. And these are some of the things that I may have done to, you know, overcome those things. So that's the generation, the motivation for it.
Oh, that's so fantastic. You do such a good job at it. And just to that point of how you say that you have struggles and issues, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
You tell a story on one of your episodes of your podcast that I don't know if I would have shared, but it's a great story. I'm glad that you did, because we live in a funny world now. The minute you say something, you're canceled, right? You told a story when you first started off your career. You had a manager, and you said you were killing it. You were putting in the numbers. You were doing the most. And she came to you one day, and I'm going to let you tell the story because it's better.
All right, Tate, you've been very kind about it. So, summarily, there was a white lady named Louise Meyer. I was working in Edison's training department, and as you alluded to, they would send me all over, and I would do these two-day communication skills workshops. And so energy, you know, things like, you have the best energy, the best engagement, we get, you know, top scores or whatever. She says, Ed, but there's one word that you say, and if you say it, it will limit or ruin your career. And so I said, what is the word? And to be honest with you, Tate, she was a little reticent to tell me, because I'm a black man, she's a white woman. And I said, Louise, there's nothing you can say to hurt my feeling. And she said, when you say the word ask, you say ax. You know, because, you know, Tate, some of us are bilingual. You know, we got our Ebonics,
right,
and we got the King's language, you know.
Correct.
So I didn't get offended at all. So what I did, I took a 3x5 card and I wrote the word ask, A-S-K, and I put three letters under the K. And I carried this card in my coat pocket, in my shirt pocket, at least for 2 weeks. And every time in between, ask, 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 until it became part of my DNA. So some of the folks, when I told them, Tate, they were like, well, weren't you offended by that? Actually, she gave me a gift. And it really helped me. And so as a result of that, I would say within 3 months, she promoted to me one of my first supervisor jobs at Southern Cal Edison.
I love that story, Ed, because again, most people, like you said, Ed, weren't you offended? Didn't you get upset because she came to you? I mean, and I'm so happy that you even shared that story. Mm-hmm. It's a great, great story.
Because it's amazing because, you know, nowadays the big buzzwords are diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Right.
Louise, to me, was practicing that way back. That's almost 40 years ago when that happened. That's in the early 80s when she pulled me aside and shared that with me. And we became lifelong friends. She eventually passed away about 3 years ago. And her husband and family asked me to do a eulogy, and I shared that same story.
Wow.
And there were white people that came to me like, hey, you weren't offended by that? No. She was on cutting edge, so.
I guess sometimes there's a difference between someone offending us and caring about us. And you probably picked it up from her.
Yes. I deduced exactly what you said, that she had a caring spirit and that she was really looking down the road. And imagine, you, Tate, you're a trainer, you are an instructor, and you're always asking for input. And the whole time I was nobody had the courage, nobody had the love, nobody had the passion to, as I hobble, H-A-B-L, help a brother out. Nobody wanted to help a brother out. But Louise came and said, yeah, here's what's going on. And when I said that, our friendship just cemented even further.
That is a beautiful story. So anyway, thank you for sharing that again.
Thanks for asking. But,
so, Ed, you have a book.
Yes.
That's out right now. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about who this book is for.
Okay.
And I'm going to put you on the spot.
Please.
You told a story about a young man that you recently mentored, and he became a speaker through your effort. Can you tell that story? So
absolutely. So the name of the book, as you know, Tate, is Building Your Brand 101. And essentially what it is a playbook for student athletes, all genders, and it's focusing on three big areas. One has to do with the media, because of my background, the media engagement, how to effectively navigate through media. The next portion has to do with mental wellness. And then the third area has to do with money, because of the name, image, and likeness, where high school and college students can be compensated for their name, image, and likeness. So the story you are referring to is a young man by the name of Jalen Woods. So Jalen Woods was a perennial linebacker at St. John Bosco. He is now a true freshman at UCLA on the football team and is getting some playing time. Now, you see where we are right now, because you see who I have on the wall. I have SC on the wall. But he and I tease him all the time. But essentially what happened was the young man's family came to me and said, hey, he'd like to sit down and talk with you because he's kind of enamored with your communication skills. And what was happening, he was being recruited all over the United States, but it just wasn't very cerebral, but didn't have a whole lot of words. Like, Coach Ramsey comes, how was the game? Fine. How was school? Okay. You know, teenagers.
Right.
So I said I wouldn't work with him unless he's willing to work with me. So he reached out to me, and for 7 weeks we would go on Zoom, and we would do, you know, these various things. So we created a playbook. And then what happened, fast forward to get to your point, about 2 months after we finished, his mom said, hey, you're not going to believe who got selected to represent the Trinity League. So that's modern day St. John Bosco, Orange, Lutheran, all the big schools, to represent the Trinity League on Media Day. And Jalen was one of the kids that got selected.
Fantastic. You know what? You mentioned, first of all, huge league, modern day, they put out players.
Absolutely. Yes.
The other thing is this new NIL deal, there's so much opportunity for kids of all races, whatever. There's a lot of opportunity, but as you probably told him, if I'm General Mills, I need to make sure you can pronounce Campbell Soup.
Yes, sir.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what you did was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And that's the thing about it, because what I found out that, and you probably already know this, Tate, but even at the Division I school, the big schools, there's not a lot of media training for these student athletes. In fact, a couple of athletes told me one of the training was just don't embarrass the school. That's not media training.
So
how do you feel that? Because, you know, I hosted a weekly cable talk show called Compton From the Inside Out in Compton for 19 years, and then was part of the Edison Speakers Bureau and a spokesperson. So it's like God gave me all of that to just kind of help someone. And then when I was thinking about the mental side, Tate, I was thinking about Naomi Osaka, the number one tennis player, who was talking about her mental challenges, not cerebral, but just was just overwhelmed.
Right.
Self-care. And then Simone Biles, who dropped out of her All-American section of the Olympics. And then I look at all of these. So I started researching when I was writing the book, researching all of these Division I student athletes who were committing suicide. And I have a daughter who's a psychiatrist, so she was helping me as we put that that information together. Just trying to fill a gap. That's all I'm trying to do.
Right, but you're doing a good job.
Thank you.
And once again, the name of your book and how can we get it?
Okay, so the name of the book is Building Your Brand 101, and it is a playbook for student athletes. Again, I have to say all genders because I've had a couple of people thought it was only for young men, but for student athletes dealing with media, dealing with mental wellness, that is self-care, and then money, how to manage their money and how to make sure that, you know, they understand how things work and that they have to do a 1099. They make over $600 when they get a name, image and likeness deal. So that's it. And the way they can get it is on Amazon. Just go to Amazon and it's right there.
And you know what, Ed? I think you didn't say it, but I also think if I'm a parent, that might be something I would want to know about. So it's... To me, it sounds like a book that's for anybody.
It is.
If I had a kid, I would want to know, hey, what is my kid, how much should he be paying in taxes, or should he be paying taxes, or what? So, yeah.
That's like a very good point, Tate. You're a great marketer, man. I mean, presented that way. It is something that for anyone, even though the target audience may be student athletes, or for anyone along those lines. So parents, you're right. I mean, there's things that have a recruitment calendar in there. Talk about what is this thing, name, image, and likeness. Just some basic things, some do's and don'ts on social media. Because you know, Tate, I can get a scholarship from your university or get a job offer. And if I'm acting, behaving badly on social media, you can rescind that offer.
Yes.
So we talk about things like that also. And then even for not just coaches, but development officers, staff, athletic directors, things of that nature. It's just kind of just filling, trying to help them to augment what they're doing.
Okay. Well, Ed, before we close, I want you to share one thing with us. I love your story about the bamboo seed. It's one of my favorite stories. Mm-hmm. If you can recall that, I don't put you on the spot. Mm-hmm. And how it takes so long, but you gotta keep watering it. Can you share that story with us?
Absolutely. So the story is told, it's in many variations, so I'm gonna kind of give my spin on it. So a man that lived in the southeast, and he was planting a bamboo tree. And so he goes out, Tate, and he plants the tree, and he puts the the seed in the ground, and he waters and so forth. So his neighbors come around and they say, you know, hey, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm planting a bamboo tree. But every day he's out there, nothing is happening. But what he didn't tell them, Tate, is that the bamboo tree, it takes 5 years for it to grow. Mm-hmm. And then after that, after it grows 90 feet in a matter of just like 5 days. So make a long story short, the guy's out there watering and everybody's coming out like, man, nothing happening here. Even Stevie Wonder can see that this thing is not growing. And on the fifth year, now the bamboo tree starts to come up. It germinates, it rears its head. And within a matter of a couple of days, it grows to be 90 feet tall. And the moral of the story that I'm trying to say is that sometimes it takes a little while. You gotta, you know, be patient.
Right.
You plant a seed. Anyone who's listening, your audience, someone may want to be a podcaster like Tate. Someone may want to be an entrepreneur. Someone may want to go back and get their degree. It takes a little while. The haters, the shade throwers may laugh at you, but sooner or later, your bamboo tree is going to eclipse.
Keep watering that seed.
So keep watering that seed. That's it.
Ed, thank you. I love that. That's always so motivational. Ed, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come on and join the podcast. Man, it's always good to see you. So thank you so much.
Likewise, Tate. And I just want to say I'm very grateful and humbled by what you're doing, because I told Tate offline I steal some of the things that you're doing, and I'm just appreciative. Keep doing it, man. Thank you.
Well, friends, I told you it was going to be a good one. So today's words come from a song by the Steve Miller Band, and they go, feed the babies who don't have enough to eat, shoe the children with no shoes on their feet, house the people living on the street. Oh, there's a solution. See, I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. Friends, I'll see you next Tuesday.